Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
One does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the basic tenets of our Christian faith is that Jesus is like, as a human, Jesus is like us in all things but sin. Even though Jesus never sinned, there were times when he was tempted, and we just heard examples of that. Notice the devil's tactics in this particular case. He didn't come to Jesus until 40 days had passed. By this time, Jesus was tired, he was hungry, he was lonely. But the desert elements had weakened him. The devil waited to pounce on his intended victim at a time when his victim was the most vulnerable. When the devil spoke, he did so with innuendo, with mere suggestions. What could be wrong with satisfying hunger by turning a few rocks into bread? Wouldn't Jesus miraculously multiply bread for a much larger crowd later in his public ministry? And what's wrong with using political power to overthrow oppressors, or using miracles to prove God's existence and to convince the skeptics? And who would know anyhow, considering that Jesus was way out in the desert? How subtle and sly was the devil. But Jesus anticipated Satan's tactics. As far back as the Garden of Eden, the devil's whisper was a call to rise not to fall. The devil didn't suggest to Adam and Eve that the forbidden fruit would make them like him. Rather, he told them that it would make them like God. When God created the world, all was good. Evil sneaks in when we succumb to a temptation asking us to use something good for a different purpose. Money itself isn't evil, but the love of money can lead to evil. We can say the same or similar things about beauty, power, technology, food, etc. The devil tried to get Jesus to use his creative power to satisfy his own needs and thus subtly shift the focus of Jesus' ministry from the path of suffering, redemptive love to one of self-preservation. It was, in essence, a temptation to bypass the cross in favor of a more comfortable life. And as we know, Jesus refused to do that. Temptations aren't signs of weakness, but rather signs of strength. We're not tempted to do something that we can't do, but rather to do something that's within our reach and our power. So the greater a person's power, the greater the temptation. How fierce the battle must have been for Jesus. The struggle that he was faced with wasn't an imaginary one. It was a real battle of cosmic proportions. The power of the temptation is proportionate to the person's opportunity to do good. On the flip side of every strength is its hidden weakness, its Achilles heel. For example, if you're wealthy, the temptation is to become possessed by your possessions rather than to use them for God's glory and purposes. If you're powerful or popular, the temptation is to believe that you're essentially different from everyone else, that you're better than others, and therefore worthy of their adoration. On the one hand, all of these gifts can make a life great when they're used for the service of others. But on the other hand, all of them can become distorted and wasted if they're only used for selfish reasons. Jesus understood this truth, and in the end, even though he gave up his life, he never traded his soul. Just as Jesus was tempted by the devil, we face many different temptations throughout our lives. Whenever we make an effort to grow closer to God, to leave behind habits of sin, and to grow in virtue, we can be sure that opposition isn't far behind. Adversity is a part of life, and Jesus was certainly not exempt from it. He shows us that adversity doesn't mean failure, and certainly doesn't have to lead to sin. With his help, we can overcome the temptations that we face. In those instances when we do give in to temptation, we know that his mercy is available to us when we ask for it. As we begin another season of Lent, with its disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we're reminded that the true beauty of the Incarnation that Jesus experienced the full array of human temptations and still resisted their empty promises and fleeting rewards. So let us pray that as a community of faith, our trust may be in the eternal things of God, that our Lenten disciplines might not be self-serving, but rather might create within each of us space to be filled with God's presence, mercy, and forgiveness. After all, as St. Paul reminds us, everyone who calls on the Lord, on the name of the Lord, will be saved.